ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 214. It's actually a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tasamavirabhuchchauri
Tasamavirabhuchchauri
Smayamana mukhambhujaha
Smayamana mukhambhujaha
Pitambaradhara Shragvi
Pitambaradhara
Sakshan man matha man matha
Sakshan man matha man matha
Ta sanga ta sama virabhuj chauri
Ta sama virabhuj chauri
Smayamano mukham bujaha
Smayamano mukham bujaha
Pitambara dhara sragvi
Pitambara dhara sragvi
Sakshan man matha man matha
Sakshan man matha man matha
Tasang avirabhuch chauri
Tasang avirabhuch chauri
Smayamana mukham bujaha
Smayamana bujaha
Pitambara dhara sragvi
Pitambara dhara sragvi
Sakshan man matha man matha
Sakshan man matha man matha
Translation, wearing yellow garments and decorated with a flower garland, Lord Krishna, appearing among the gopis with his smiling lotus face, looked directly like the charmer of the heart of Cupid. Purport. Again, a very short purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 10, 32, text 2. This verse, which we read today, Tasam avirabhut chauri. Tasam, among them, avirabhut, he appeared, chauri, as name for Krishna. It's an interesting name in the context of the Gopi Leela. It means it's a Mathura name. It recognizes that he's the son of Vasudev rather than the son of Nanda Maharaj. So anyway, this is Krishna appearing among the gopis who have been singing about him, and it's just in the prelude to the rasa description of the rasa lila, which we're continuing discussion of from yesterday. people who are very moralistic, they don't want to accept that Krishna can be like this, that he can dance with others' wives, with so many girls, can have so many queens. To them it doesn't seem right. There may be two kinds of people like this. One is outright envious, and the other is pious, and they believe that religion should promote piety and morals. I mean, that's a standard accepted thing, isn't it? That people think if you're religious, then you should be very good. That's why if some ordinary person commits some crime, some sexual misdemeanor or something like that, it's not considered a very big thing. But if someone who's supposed to be a sadhu does that, then it's considered very bad. And that's true in any religion in the world. People look, they want to look up to saintly people, sadhus, priests, imams, or whatever, as being exemplars of moral behavior. to set an example for others, so we can have faith in them. They're people of God. If you're close to God, then you should be good. And if you're good, then you don't commit sexual mispractice. So it should be expected that God Himself is the most moral, setting the best example. And if He Himself is immoral, then what is the hope for all of us? So it's from this perspective, it seems to be a very bad religion. Or there may be people who like Krishna. They feel inclined to Krishna, but they feel somewhat embarrassed by this. Just like these Brahma Kumaris have this picture. It's well known of baby Krishna holding the globe. And their idea is that Krishna will come back again, but this time he'll only be good. He won't be bad like last time. So it's actually a very offensive idea. But the underlying principle is that we want to be moral and we want to be good, and they just can't work out how Krishna could be bad. Well, that's what happens when you try to understand God with your mind. People conceive of God as the upholder of moral principles. He punishes the wicked and rewards the good. It's a materialistic concept of religion. The idea that we're supposed to live in this world peacefully and enjoy it mutually together. And even God gave the animals, He's so kind, He gave us the animals to kill them and eat them. It's a very perverse idea, right? The whole idea of morality is be good to men and kill the animals. The idea that God upholds all of this. God's role in the universe is to uphold to the universe in such a way that the good are rewarded and the bad are punished, and we, the good, shall enjoy the earth or later in heaven by God's grace. That's what God does. He is meant to make us happy. That's all. And He can stay in the background, and we'll say a few prayers to Him time to time, and then He'll be happy and we'll go on with enjoying ourselves. It's actually a very mundane conception of religion, very different to the understanding. Can follow English? This boy?
No. Hmm?
Yeah? He understands, but his mind is far away. Gone. Lamenting for the unhappy cow. So this is a mundane conception of religion. This discussing the Ras Leela started yesterday with the first of the Purnimas on which Krishna has his Ras Leela. Before that, we were discussing the idea of serving Krishna birth after birth. I'll get back to discussing that, Krishna willing. But it's very different to the idea that we serve God and then we enjoy, as a result of doing so, we enjoy ourselves eternally. It's very different to the idea that birth after birth, I'll be your servant. Yeah, what's that? You know, I don't mind being God's servant, but just for a short time, and then we enjoy ourselves for the rest of the time. And, we respect God, but we're not going to serve Him. What's the point of serving Him? Where's your reward? What do you get out of it? What's the point? There's a very different conception that we want to serve Him on and on and on. Not that we're serving Him now, and we'll get something out of it later. So He Himself is the enjoyer. That is the point. That's what distinguishes Him as Krishna, even above the Narayan form. So very moral. But actually there's no question of morality or immorality in Krishna. That's for men who are subject to the laws of the universe. But Krishna, he's beyond all such relative considerations. Whatever He does is beneficial for the whole world anyway. But there's no question of good or bad or any such thing. From our perspective, there may be, but not for him. So, people who are religious, they're moral, and they think that, well, religion's good because it helps to keep people good. So we can all live here peacefully. Instead of cutting each other's heads off, we'll just cut the heads off the animals, and we'll all live peacefully together. And in fact, there's a very popular series of books in the Western world called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And the idea, the little anecdotes, real anecdotes of people being nice to each other. And the idea, even so, I saw some of our leaders, they have the book also. So I read one of them in which there was a young boy in America who liked, someone had a horse and he was very fond of that horse. And the man wanted to sell the horse. So that boy would never see the horse again, and he was upset. And the man came to find out, but the boy didn't have money, so he said, well, how much money do you have? And he said, I only have $24. He said, well, that's enough. And he gave the horse. So practically he gave the horse away to the boy, and that was chicken soup. And that means make people feel happy. So the idea is that chicken soup, it's something your mother makes at home, and she serves with love and affection to the children, and it's a symbol of loving relationships between each other. But they didn't think of the chicken also had a mother and was the mother to someone else. They don't understand. Some basic points causing pain to others cannot be good. Well, there are some circumstances. Sometimes people need to be punished. But that is, as a principle, one should not give pain to others. So this idea of moral religion. In some sense, people, at least they're trying to be good and moral, but they overstepped their boundaries. They went beyond their adhika. Some of them, they're envious of Krishna, and some of them, well, they just feel embarrassed. Krishna's nice, but all this dancing with the gopis and Bhagavad Gita, what he speaks in Bhagavad Gita is good philosophy, but all this dancing with the gopis, and they can't understand it, makes them feel uncomfortable, embarrassed. And so they try to explain it as some allegory for God and the devotee. Actually, it's true. It is God accepting worship from his devotees. But it's not an allegory of God accepting worship from his devotees. It is actually God accepting worship from his devotees. So this idea of moral will be very good. You could say the mode of goodness. It's a mode of goodness. We'll be very good. We'll be very peaceful. But Krishna, the mode of goodness is also a conditioning. Tribhir gunamaya bhavar edhamana. What is it? Abhi sarvamidam jagat mohanam mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya paramabhyaya. So it's the three modes. The three modes which bewilder everyone in this world, by which they cannot understand Krishna. So mode of goodness is one of them. So in the mode of goodness, there's morality. And that goes down into the mode of passion. The higher levels of the mode of passion, they're also very concerned with morality. But that sense of, yes, I'm very moral and I'm very good, that conditions a person to think that that's it. That's the limit. That's as good as you get. I'm as good as they come. There's nothing better than this, and limits their understanding of God. So they think that morality is spirituality. To be moral is religious, and that's it. And if you're moral, you're good, and that's religious. And then you get other people who argue that, well, moral is good, but what do you need religion for? We can be moral without any religion. So they put morality as the highest level, their understanding of morality. Understanding of morality means, well, throughout the world there are some, it's accepted in general among what we could call cultured people that just like the Ten Commandments, you don't steal other people's wives, you don't steal other people's property, you don't, you have to honor your father and mother, and so on. And the first of the Ten Commandments is that you should love God with all your heart. And then the others are some moral principles. So moral principles, that is not spirituality. It's something for helping us to live in this world in an equitable way, in a way that we don't cause others unnecessary trouble as far as possible. So Krishna's Rasalila, it's almost like a challenge to materialistic conceptions of religion. It's, all right, you accept God is supreme, but how far do you accept Him? What is your understanding of supreme? You say that God can do anything He likes. Okay, well, here He is doing what He likes. Actually, you would like to do it in your heart of hearts, but you can't, and therefore you become envious. That's what's going on. So they think that if at all God appears as a human, they're mostly impersonalists, people who assert this moral idea of God, that God's function is to set the proper standard of morality. That's what He should do. And He should be God, and that's it. He should be very grave and correct and proper, something like a judge in a court. Very fair, and not, maybe sometimes a little joke here and there, but in general, just very grave and solemn, handing out pronouncements. The social rules are there, the judge understands them. So he tells someone, all right, you get $10,000 from the government because, just like here in India, there's a flood and then the families of the survivors are given 1 lakh or something for everyone who died or something like that. So the judge may say, all right, you get this money. To someone else, you may say, you're hanged, you have to be hanged for your crime. But he's impartial and he simply gives out justice fairly. And you generally don't think of God as a very fun-like figure. Who's a fun-like figure? A film star, Shah Rukh Khan, must be a fun figure, I guess. I guess you don't know either, I hope. But presumably he dances in movies. That's what movie stars do. So he's a fun figure. But you wouldn't expect to see a high court judge dancing in the streets like that, even on a festival. On a festival like Diwali, he might come out and just do a little bit with his grandchildren or something, but you're not going to see him jumping around ecstatically because he's a high court judge. He has to maintain his dignity. God should be dignified. But actually, the very fact that Krishna performs Rasa Leela, that's what makes him Krishna. Krishna and Narayana are the same, but still there's a difference. And what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference between what? Between staying awake and falling asleep. What's the difference? The difference is that in one situation you hear the class and in the other you don't. What's the difference? Well, there are four principal differences. Venu Madhuri, the exceptional sweetness of his flute. Then Rupa Madhuri, the exceptional sweetness of his form. Then Leela Madhuri, there you go. The exceptional sweetness of his pastimes. And Prema Madhuri, the exceptional sweetness of his love and the devotees who relate with him in a loving relationship. So, that's Krishna. And if he's only God, he's God, yes, salut, salam, only like that, then there's not much Krishna Leela left. He can't be a little boy holding onto the tails of the calves and getting pulled around in the cart yard. And when he gets a little older, he pinches the babies and makes them cry. There's no makanchor stealing the butter, because he's God. You can't steal. He's God. You can't steal butter. And then he can kill all the demons that come. He can do that, but not even that. He'll just have to send a thunderbolt from his finger. No such thing as it's described when, for instance, Keshi demon comes, then Krishna ties up his sash and makes sure he's looking nice because the gopi is going to be watching. So gets dressed nicely before he goes and kills the demons. It's going to be a pretty joyless God, but that's the whole conception of, or not conception, conception means our perspective, but that's the reality of Krishna, that he's joyful, that people who come from the West to India, they often notice that, well, Indian people seem to be very happy and they're fascinated by festivals. They have TV coverage of Diwali and Kumbh Mela and everyone's all happy. Because their idea of religion is that you go to a church and you stand there. God, give us this day our daily bread. And there's no bliss, that's for sure. Save us from hellfire. It's all very solemn. Should be. Religion means you should be very solemn. And you see the Hindus are all jumping around, letting off fireworks and climbing up some pole which is covered with butter. They do that on Janmashtami and to try to get the butter at the top and throwing colors on each other. What's that got to do with religion? But that is, it's joyful. There's singing joyful songs. It's a different conception. Actually, people are more happy overall in India. I'd say one reason is because the religion is happy. Whereas in other places, the religion is just, religion means not allowed to be happy. Don't smile. If we catch the corner of your lips turning up slightly, we'll throw you in hell to burn forever. But with Krishna, he's love, and even his friends are making jokes at his expense. That's not possible. But well, it is. It is, it is, it is. And the example is given of the jester in the king's court. In the king's court, everyone has to be very solemn, but he keeps a jester. Vidushaka is the Sanskrit word. So his job is to make the king laugh, otherwise it's too boring. And he sometimes makes too tense otherwise all the time. And he makes the other people laugh also. And he has got the license to publicly make jokes at the expense of the king. Only he's allowed to do that. Even one of the big ministers, if he did that, might find that his head soon becomes separated from his body. But the jester has a license. Of course, it's dangerous because you never know. The king's not supposed to punish the jester, but if he goes too far, after all, a king's a king, he can do what he likes. So Krishna, when he's not being Narayana, Oh Lord, you are mighty. Hey, come on, let's get out. What are you doing sitting there? Come on, let's go and play. Yeah, okay, let's go. So it's a different mood altogether. So that that's described when Krishna comes back from the pasturing grounds in the evening. All the Vrajvasis who couldn't go with him, that means everyone except the cowherd boys, they're waiting to receive him. And also, just before he enters Vrindavan village, all the demigods are there praying to him. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, all making prayers. You are mighty, you are great. And the cowherd boys, they think it's a big joke. And they also bow down before Krishna and say, oh Krishna, you are great. What a lark. Come on, I wrestled him to the ground at midday. He's just an idiot like one of us. That's a way of thinking. Just one of us, that's all. So Krishna likes that. That's described in detail in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he is a god who steals butter and gives it to the monkeys. Why would God do that? Doesn't seem logical. Now we have to be fair and try and understand everyone's religion, but it's really different. Why would God steal butter and feed it to monkeys? What is the reason? There's no reason. He doesn't have to have a reason. It's got nothing to do with cosmic maintenance. It's just for fun, that's all. That's all. For fun. That's all. For fun, and then he's happy, and everyone's happy. The monkeys are happy, his friends are happy, the elderly gopis aren't happy, but actually they are happy. But they seem to be not very happy. So this is a completely different conception or understanding of who God is. What does it mean that God's a person? Does it just mean he's some boring old fuddy-duddy who sits on a bench and punishes everyone? No, he's the supreme enjoyer. And the supreme enjoyment is dancing, which he does as a little baby. The elderly gopis, they clap their hands and little baby Krishna dances. When he gets a little older, he's out in the cowherd pastures with his young friends, young boys, and they're dancing, imitating the peacocks, having dances like that. Peacocks are very expert in dancing. And then he dances in the daytime with his cowherd boyfriends, and many other activities during the daytime, but the night is nighttime. Time to time, he has Ras Lila. It's dedicated to dance. That's the pinnacle of dancing. So there are several places in Vrindavan where he does. There are several Rasa Stalis. There's that one in central Vrindavan town, in Govardhan, in Sanketa, I believe there is one, and Kaliahrada, different places. Krishna enacts his Rasa Lila. So, when God is not like God, then people who are not like people expect God to be is, then it might cause them some dismay. So actually to understand Krishna's rasa actually requires a lot of understanding of the science of God, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, so this description of the Rasula comes in the 10th canto, after 9 cantos of establishing that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And then again in the 11th canto, there's so much philosophy to substantiate this, and even within the 10th canto also. So from our perspective, we're trying to understand it, but really... it shouldn't be that difficult to understand that God loves to play and dance. Otherwise, where does the propensity in us come from? Why should we have that propensity if it comes from Him? And if you think that moralistic religion, pray to God and be good and put some money in the box, and that's it. If you think that's the highest, then There's no sweetness in God. There's no beauty. There's no charm. There's no playfulness. There's no dancing. It's just boring old God. So Krishna himself, he explains this, that love of him that is not motivated by awe and reverence, which means there's some fear. If there's he likes that kind of love more. Because if there's awe and reverence, means there's some fear. It may not be exactly... In Vaikuntha, there's some element of fear. They're not afraid that God's going to punish them, but they're afraid that I have to be very careful how I deal with him, because otherwise it's not proper. So that kind of fear. It's not that they're afraid they're going to be thrown in hell forever, but it's a fear of overstepping the grounds of proper behavior. So we have a description which Krishna himself gives of the kind of love that he likes. This is Srila Prabhupada's translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, from the fourth chapter. All the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. Most people would think, well, I'd be satisfied if everyone was praising me. I'd be very happy. You are great. You are wonderful. You are big. Yeah, okay, I'd be very satisfied. In fact, why don't they do it? Well, they don't do it because you're not God. Well, if you do it to God, then he should be satisfied. But Krishna says, no, it doesn't satisfy me. If one regards me as the Supreme Lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. This may seem a strange concept. Why should God want to be controlled? Read on. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. Yayata mang prabhadyante. That is my natural behavior. In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great, and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. Devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. And then quoting again from Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking, O my dear damsels of Raja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have attained my favor. Back to the Bengali verse. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. That's what we're celebrating this month. She nourishes me and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Just like someone is praising the king, and they're going on and different people coming and praising the king. And meanwhile, the queen comes from behind and says, how long are you going on? Why don't you come and see me? You've been sitting here in this cot all day listening. And it's her. Okay. people are praising him. It's going on, but the queen, I'm coming soon. I want to be with you, actually. Then we can joke and laugh together. But he's some duty to listen to the praises of the citizens. So, continuing. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways, unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. The influence of Yoga Maya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Pure attachment will unite us, even at the expense of moral and religious duties, known as dharma. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. What is that? Destiny? Destiny? God subject to destiny? It's not easy to understand. Can be understood from the perspective of rasa vichar. There's rasa and rasa. Rasa means the flavor that's experienced, and rasa means, it's a different word. Rasa means the circular dance. So a different word. That's why I'm trying to get all of you to get your us as us and ours as ours, and not mix them up because you can change the meaning. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Vraja, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. So God wants you to give up that moral religion. That seems what he says. That worshipping on the path of spontaneous love, giving up the rules of morality. Well, it's not that devotees become of followers of Krishna in the raga marga, that they become immoral. But they're not attached to the rules of morality just for their own sake. But anyway, automatically they're moral. It's not that devotees are going to run off with someone else's wife, because they're completely absorbed in Krishna. They don't have any mundane desire, because they're completely enchanted by Krishna's spiritual desires, serving Krishna's spiritual desires. So the idea of worshipping God as a father or a mother, that is not as high as the concept of becoming the father or mother or lover of God. Some people, they criticize Krishna and they worship Rama. They think Rama is very good, but Krishna is not very good. Rama is very moral. He upheld the Dharma Shastras and the Vedas, and he didn't dance with anyone's wife. He only had one wife. And even when she left this world, he didn't remarry. He could have done, but he set the high example. So they admire his setting the example of very high morality. However, it is described in Garga Sanghita and probably elsewhere also, that while Rama was in Dandakaranya, that various sages were attracted to him on the spiritual platform of wanting to become in a relationship with him like that of a female lover. This will be misunderstood by people who don't understand Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan, who think that this is the body, that the body is the self. But Rama told them, it's not possible this time round, you come next time when I come as Krishna. And they became the Rishi Chari Gopis. In Garga Sanghita it's described, apart from the Nitya Siddha Gopis, there are so many other new Gopis. There were the Vedas who became the Gopis, or the Rishi Chari. There were the girls in Mithila who were friends of Sita, who were enchanted by the form of Rama. They also became gopis, and so many different categories of new gopis. So among them were the Rishichari gopis, who they were attracted to Rama, but Rama said, you come next time. So Rama himself, he's most moral, but he's telling, okay, next time you become gopis, you come and join me. It's the same person, but he's just playing a different role, that's all. So you might say it's someone, he has a very good moral character, and he's lauded by everyone, and then it's found out that secretly he's in a conspiracy with someone who's corrupt. So Rama is helping Krishna. No, it's not like that at all. It's the same Rama and the same Krishna. But a different role they play at a different time. That Rama is the emblem of dharma. So, all right, that's good for people at a certain level, and Rama's pastimes are very pleasing, and you can achieve the full perfection of being a pure devotee of Rama, but don't criticize Krishna. He's the same person in a different role. That's all. Okay, I'm going to finish there for today, and maybe we'll finish it tomorrow. Well, the Rasa-lila goes on for a night of Brahma. But maybe, so if this class becomes a little long, we can call it a seminar. There we go. There's the solution. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question about this, please?
The
Ras Leela is the dearest of Krishna's pastimes. Yeah. It's generally considered the pinnacle of all the pastimes. There is one comment of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati where he says that actually the midday meeting at Surya Kund, that's the highest, but that's recorded in one of his lectures or something like that, but there's no elaboration on that. Govinda Lilamrita. And it can be taken as a taste also, because For the elderly gopis, those who are on the level of Mother Yashoda, for them the topmost leela is when Krishna steals butter from them, or when Krishna takes the form of their son, and then they feed him directly. So it's a matter of taste also, but as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, J.J. Rosh Shemane Sarvotam, something like that. According to whatever mood you have, you think that that's the best. But still, it says after that, but still, if we do a neutral consideration, we can say that the Madhurya Ras, that of the sweet love of Krishna, especially with the gopis, that's the best. And within that, Ras Leela is considered the ultimate manifestation of happiness.
When the living entities they go back home, back to bottom, and they start serving in that constituted position, how they can join Krishna?
How can the living beings join Krishna? In the rasa dance. Well, not everyone is a gopi. There are other living beings also. You learning Telugu? Is that Telugu or Kannada? Oh, I see. It's Telugu. If you're going to spend more time here, you might as well learn Telugu. It's the same script and it's a similar language, is it? Pretty similar. It's 95% the same script, isn't it? And you're very fluent in Kannada, I presume. Is it? No? Oh. But you're from Belgaum. But what medium did you study in? Marathi, Hindi, English? In Hindi, I see. And in Belgaum town, it's mostly Marathi spoken, is it? As the local language. Or Hindi? Marathi and Kannada. I see. All right, so everyone speaks both, is it? Then?
Spontaneous devotion.
Yeah, we're talking about it. Spontaneous devotion. No harm to talk about it. I mean, no harm means we should know what is our ultimate goal of life.
So, some Gaudiya Math, some devotees say that in ISKCON we do not graduate from Vaidhi Bhakti. I mean, we go from Vaidhi Bhakti to Radha, Prabhupada,
and emphasize. Gaudiya Math, the real Gaudiya Math, they're much more strict on it than we are in ISKCON. If you follow the way Bhaktis done so, then it's only these neo Gaudiya Math who are mixed up with Babaji philosophy, who emphasize you have to go for this, go for your higher levels and all this kind of thing. Yes, but go carefully. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I quoted that yesterday. I looked it up for anyone who may be interested. It seems to be coined by Alexander Pope. If you've never heard of him, you didn't lose anything. But anyway. famous figure in the history of English literature, which is passing like the wind in the great waves of time. So yeah, it's known, but it's not discussed that much. Yeah. There are so many warnings. Adhikana labhya shiddha deho bhave viparja buddhi janne shaktira bhave. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who himself did write about these things quite extensively. Well, not so extensively. You had usually at the end, for instance, at the end of Jaiva Dharma, Chaitanya Shikamrita, Harinama, Chintamani, and in the second part of the, especially of the Bhajan Rahasya. But he warned that without attaining the suitable qualification, if one tries to meditate upon his Siddha Deha, his spiritual form, then he'll get an opposite result. The opposite kind of consciousness will develop due to having lack of spiritual power. Then there's Brikopuri, what is that? Dushtafala Koribe Ojan. I can't remember the Bengali now, but Najai Brikopuri, Tane Tane Faladhari. Dushta phala karibe arjan. He says that if you try to get the fruit of the tree without climbing up, just by pulling and shaking the tree, you'll only get bad fruits. You won't get good fruits. You have to go up the tree, which in Vedic culture is not allowed to climb up trees in general. But the idea is you have to go up. Gradually, carefully. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.